some stories are meant to be read quietly, and some stories are meant to be read aloud. Some stories are only proper for rainy mornings, and some for long, hot afternoons when one is lying in the open. And some stories are bedtime stories. All the blue Skalalatut stories are morning tales. I do not know why, but that is what Effie says. All the stories about Orvin Sylvester Woody, the leftover New England fairy who did not think it well seen to fly, and who used patent labor-saving devices instead of charms, are afternoon stories, because they were generally told in the shade of the woods. You could alter and change these tales as much as you pleased, but in the evening there were stories meant to put Effie to sleep, and you were not allowed to alter those by one single little word. They had to be told just so, or Effie would wake up and put back the missing sentence. So at last they came to be like charms, all three of them, the whale tale, the camel tale, and the rhinoceros tale. Of course, little people are not alike, but I think if you catch some Effie rather tired and rather sleepy at the end of the day, and if you begin in a low voice and tell the tales precisely as I've written them down, you will find that Effie will presently curl up and go to sleep. Now this is the first tale, and it tells how the whale got his tiny throat. Once upon a time there was a whale, and he lived in the sea, and he ate fishes. He ate the starfish and the garfish, the crab and the dab, the plaice and the dace, and the skate and his mate, and the mackerel and the pickerel, and the really truly twirly-whirly eel. And all the fishes he could find in the sea he ate with his mouth, so. At last there was only one little fish left in all the sea, and he was an astute fish, and he swam a little behind the whale's right ear, so as to be out of harm's way. Then the whale stood up on his tail and said, "I'm hungry." And the little astute fish said in a little astute voice, "Noble and generous cetacean, have you ever tried man?"
"No," said the whale. "What is it like?"
"Nice," said the little astute fish. "Nice, but nubbly."
"Then fetch me a dozen," said the whale,
and he made the sea froth up with his tail. "One at a time is enough," said the astute fish. "If you swim to latitude 41.42, longitude 36.37, that is magic. You will find sitting on a raft, in the middle of a sea, with nothing on but a pair of blue canvas breeches, a pair of suspenders, you must not forget the suspenders, and a jackknife, one shipwrecked mariner who, it is only fair to tell you, is a man of infinite resource and sagacity." So the whale swam to latitude 41.42, longitude 36.37, as fast as he could swim, and on a raft, in the middle of the sea, with nothing to wear except a pair of blue canvas breeches, a pair of suspenders, you must particularly remember the suspenders, and a jackknife. He found one single solitary shipwrecked mariner trailing his toes in the water. He had his mother's leave to paddle, or else he would never have done it, because he was a man of infinite resource and sagacity. Then the whale opened his mouth back and back and back till it nearly touched his tail, and he swallowed the shipwrecked mariner and the raft he was sitting on and his blue canvas breeches and the suspenders, which you must not forget, and the jackknife. He swallowed them all down into his warm, dark inside cupboards, and then he smacked his lips so, and turned round three times on his tail. But as soon as the mariner, who was a man of infinite resource and sagacity, found himself in the whale's warm, dark inside cupboards, he hopped and he jumped and he thumped and he bumped and he pranced and he danced and he banged and he clanged and he leaped and he creeped and he prowled and he howled and he cried and he sighed and he crawled and he bawled and he danced hornpipes where he shouldn't. And the whale felt very unhappy indeed. Have you forgotten the suspenders? So he said to the 'stute fish,
This man is truly very nubbly, and besides, he is making me hiccup. What shall I do?
Tell him to come out, said the 'stute fish. So the whale called down his own throat to the shipwrecked mariner.
Come out and behave yourself. I've got the hiccups.
Nay, said the mariner. Not so, but far otherwise. Take me to my natal shore and the white cliffs of Albion, and I'll think about it. And he began to dance again. You had better humor him, said the 'stute fish to the whale. I ought to have warned you that he is a man of infinite resource and sagacity. So the whale swam and swam and swam with both flippers and his tail as hard as he could for the hiccups, and at last he saw the mariner's natal shore and the white cliffs of Albion, and he rushed halfway up the beach and opened his mouth wide and wide and wide and said,
Change here for Winchester, Ashuelot, Nashua, Keene, and stations on the Fitchburg Road.
And just as he said Fitch, the mariner walked out of his mouth. But while the whale had been swimming, the mariner, who was indeed a person of infinite resource and sagacity, had taken his little jackknife and cut up the raft into a little square grating running all crisscross, and he had tied it firm with his suspenders. Now you know why you were not to forget the suspenders. And he dragged that grating good and tight into the whale's throat, and there it stuck. Then he recited the following sloka, which, as you have not heard it, I will now proceed to relate. By means of a grating I have stopped your ating. For the mariner, he was also an Hibernian. And he stepped out on the shingle and went home to his mother, who had given him leave to trail his toes in the water. And he married and lived happily ever afterward. So did the whale, but from that day on, the grating in his throat, which he could neither cough up nor swallow down, prevented him eating anything except very, very small fish. And that is the reason why whales nowadays never eat men, or boys, or little girls. The 'stute fish went and hid himself in the mud under the door sills of the Equator. He was afraid the whale might be angry with him. The sailor took the jackknife home. He was wearing the blue canvas breeches when he walked out on the shingle, and the suspenders were left behind, you see, to tie the grating with. And that is the end of that tale.